Good morning again. I believe that we all enjoy this beautiful summer. Some people may take the opportunity to go on vacation. My wife and I visit Egypt and Israel for about 21 days in last month. One of the highlights is that we went on to Mount Sinai. And it was tough because we really need a lot of physical strength as we have to ascend to the mountain. Not only that, we've gone through a lot of checkpoints because before we reach the mountain areas. Because at that time, even now, the authority declared that the country is in a critical situation. And there were a lot of army on guard while we were on the way going there. But we thank God for His protection. While we stay in the mountain areas, we spend quite a number of hours in worship, singing, praising the Lord, reading the scriptures, and meditate on the Word of God. It's because we went there with a group of other Christians. So we have time of meeting and worshiping together. While I was there, I read 1 Kings chapter 18 and 19. And God gave me a message. So I started preparing today's message while I was there. We read 1 Kings chapter 18. And we were told that the prophet Elijah was so brave to challenge and then defeat the 450 prophets of Baal. These people were false prophets. And their teaching was all wrong. Elijah, God's servant, prayed to God. And then the fire was immediately sent down from heaven. The people of Israel were deeply impacted by the work done by Elijah. So Elijah became the hero among his people. However, when we turn to chapter 19, we find another totally different story. It seems Elijah became another kind of personality. The same prophet who was greatly used by God fled the country. Elijah lost his faith and began running for his life. Why? What happens? One thing I learned is this. Yesterday's victories are not enough for today's battles. Today's troubles have to be fought and solved today. First, we find that Elijah went into a cave of depression. When we read about Elijah in 1 Kings 19, we see that he is standing in a very low point in his life. Elijah was so depressed that he wants to die. He said, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." I'm not better than my fathers. However, if you look at the Bible, God never asked him to compare himself with his fathers or ancestors. It was Elijah himself doing such comparison, but not God's will. Jezebel, the wife of King Ahab, has just sent Elijah a warning message that she's going to kill him. Therefore, Elijah, the prophet, is frustrated, frightened, and begins running for his life. Elijah runs all the way from north to south across the whole country and end up arriving Mount Horeb. We find that Mount Horeb is also called Mount Sinai. We can learn a lot of lessons in this incident. We usually receive many messages throughout the day. People may send messages to our phones or through emails. Sometimes some of these messages are unwelcome, right? You just don't want to read these messages. It's because when you read this message, you feel discouraged, depressed, and sad. It very much depends on how you take this kind of message and how you react to them. Some people may just leave this kind of message aside and keep on doing their jobs, right? But some are deeply affected by this kind of negative message. They become discouraged to a point that they have no more drive to do anything. I don't know what kind of reaction that you may have. As a pastor, I think I receive quite a lot of messages every day. Some are very positive, very supportive, very encouraging. However, I do receive some unwelcome messages. I don't like them. But this message comes to my phone, comes to my email, even comes to my ear, right? And I know that some messages are from our Father God. Some are not. So I have to make a discernment to make sure that I won't be affected by these negative, unwelcome messages. By reading today's text, we find that the prophet Elijah is the kind of person who is terribly affected by the message coming from Jezebel. Jezebel is an idol worshiper. So her messages definitely is not from God. According to verse 9, the Bible said, there Elijah went into a cave and spent the night. Elijah went into a cave. To some people, a cave is a resting place. But to Elijah at that moment, this is a cave of escaping. He just wanted to escape from his responsibility as a prophet of God. He doesn't want to have any more things to do with God, and he wants to leave God's assignment. But God doesn't abandon Elijah, even though he may want to run away from God. The Bible continues to tell us that. And the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here, Elijah? You see, God remembers Elijah's name. He called us by name, right? This is the question that God asked him. God doesn't ask, what did you do? No, instead God asks, what are you doing here? God cares for you today. God cares for you here and now. Verse 10, Elijah replied, I have been very jealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. It seems that Elijah has a lot of reasons that he had to give up his mission. It seems that he is right to escape from his duty. He believes that the people of Israel are all wrong. They do not believe in God, and they abandon God's covenant and altars. They even kill God's prophets. So Elijah says, and now they also want to kill me. This is the very reason I must run and hide myself in a cave. When we enter a cave of depression, we are easily blind to the truth. When we are in a cave, we won't see things clearly because our vision is being blocked or limited. And then we are distorted. We are building up a distorted view of life. We become disappointed, angry, and hated. Sometimes when I receive some negative message, gradually such kind of anger will build up inside my heart. And I know that, hey, I need to be careful. Don't let this kind of message distort my view of life. We all have to be careful, because the evil one tries to send negative message to us, to tempt us, to disappoint us, and to make us angry and hatred. However, this is the kind of view that Elijah had on that very day. But our God is full of mercy and grace. He wants to revive Elijah. And God gave hope to him. God sent a word of hope to Elijah. Listen to what God tells Elijah now and see what happens. Verse 11, the Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." This is the word of God. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. It's a miracle. It's a wonder. The Lord tell Elijah to take that step and come out of the cave. And when Elijah was obedient to come out of that cave, even though the circumstance is unchanged, totally unchanged, the Lord begins to give Elijah a word of hope. Hope. That's important, so important to Elijah and also important to us. You see, God restores Elijah and strengthen him on that very day. The Bible said, as Elijah comes out of his cave of depression, he immediately stands in the presence of the Lord. That's the reason why we have to come to worship God. When we worship God, we all come in the presence of God and let God's word to speak right to our hearts. Then Elijah becomes overwhelmed with the loving care of the Heavenly Father. After Elijah hears the still small voice, the Lord then continues and gives him something to do. In verse 12, the Bible said, "And after the fire came a gentle whisper." You see, God is a gentle God. God speaks to us with a gentle voice. So we better listen. Take heed. Listen carefully. Through this simple question, God speaks to him. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" This is the second time that God asked the same question. Because of this simple question, God let us know that he is gentle and patient with those who fail. Because at that moment, Elijah failed. He ran for his life. That's the nature of God shown to Elijah, who is so fragile and vulnerable at that moment. We are all vulnerable, right? At some point, we are all vulnerable and so weak. But God's gentleness comforts every one of us, including Elijah. And God refused to abandon Elijah, who once decided to run away from God. Look at what God does for Elijah. First, we find God sent an angel twice and to provide him with food and drink that Elijah needs. Because of this supply of food and drink, Elijah has the strength to travel for another 40 days and nights. On the mountaintop, Elijah is even given an opportunity meeting with God. It's a very important encounter with God. And his spirit is revived. God tells Elijah that you are not alone. Don't say that you are alone. Don't say that you are the only one left. No, totally wrong. Sometimes we are so subjective to make such judgment that I am the only one. I am the only one serving the Lord. I am the only one being so faithful to the Lord. No, in fact, it's not. God tells Elijah that you are not alone. Because in verse 18, God said, yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and whose mouth have not kissed him. In another word, there are 7,000 faithful people who are still following God and serving God. You are not alone, Elijah. You are not alone. Brother, you are not alone. Sister, you are not alone. You are not helpless. You have a great help from our Father God. There's still hope for you. And not only that, God tells Elijah, there are still work for you to do. God doesn't abandon him. God still have a mission for him to do. Today, let me tell you, God have a mission for you. God have a mission for you in your home, in your work, in your daily work, and even in this church. So we find that God sent a call to Elijah, to call him to keep on serving the Lord. Verse 15, the Lord said to him, go back the way you came and anoint Elijah to succeed you as prophet. This is another important assignment to Elijah. God doesn't abandon him. God loved him. Got him an important job to do. It seems God said, hey, Elijah, you're not done yet, right? I have an important job for you. You still have a bright new future. Don't stay in a cave. Come out. Go out. Go back to the way you came. And find Elijah, who's going to be your disciples. Even when he ran away from God and hid himself in a cave, God still has a great mission for him to do. God has a plan for the life of Elijah. Likewise, our God has a plan in your life. He has a high calling for you. Don't forget that. You are not alone. You are not helpless. You have this Almighty God who stands by you and keep on calling you to serve him. Elijah therefore moved on after this special cave experience and continued to do amazing things for the God, for the Almighty God. Why God is doing this to Elijah? Why? I think it's simply because God is revealing himself as a long-suffering, loving Father. God has a positive father figure to Elijah to comfort him, to revive him, and to bring him back to a bright new future. God's love is completely unconditional. He didn't ask anything from us. He won't forsake us because of our failure. We may at times be out of God's will. Sometimes we step out, sometimes we do something wrong, sometimes something not right. But we are never out of His loving concern. Our God even provides us with our daily needs, just like He delivered Elijah with a good sleep, tasty food and drink, and also provide him with a kind and encouragement. I think this is really the Father heart of God, fully on display. You really need to take time to meditate again and again on this incident. God's Father heart fully revealed and displayed in this chapter. He also wants us to know the peace in Christ. According to John 14:27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." I think the word of our Lord Jesus is right for us. No matter in what kind of circumstance we are, we need the peace of Christ. He is near you. He is in you. And His peace is with you forever. May such peace of Jesus be with you now and forever. But the point is, what can we learn from Elijah's cave experience? There must be some lesson we can learn and take out from it. I find that Elijah leaves that cave with a new anointing, a new passion, and a new lease on life. The fear and discouragement are gone. Yes, all gone. He used to be afraid of Jezebel. He was annoyed and discouraged by the negative message sent from Jezebel. But no more now. Such kind of fear and discouragement is no longer exists. He becomes a new man. Elijah is no longer looking back. But now he put his focus on Elisha, the next generation. Just like last Sunday, we found a group of young people standing on the stage, celebrating their graduation and beginning a new journey, going into universities, right? And at that moment, when Tommy mentioned about this, at that moment, I grabbed, oh, they are Elijah. They are our Elijah, our next generation, the next leaders. They are our future. At that moment, Elijah becomes the bright new future of Elijah. And a word from God turned a potential self-destruction into a new life. Because at that time, he tried to kill himself, right? Take away my life, right? It's so negative to look at his life. But now, God turned that self-destruction into a new life. And Elijah's ministry is being totally reborn. He become a man on fire. Do you also need such a big turnaround in your life? Are you looking forward to experiencing a refocusing of life? Remember, such a change begins when you step out of your cave. A cave that has distorted your view of life in the past. You may even be distorted for many, many years already. But God, our Father God, wants us to step out of that cave. Stand on the mountaintop in the presence of God. That's the change will come upon us. By doing this, you no longer need to be distorted. It's God's desire and God's plan for you to be comforted, healed, and revived. Please notice that God knows Elijah's needs. Right? God takes care of him. Mark that down in your hearts. Because God understands your needs and he will take care of you. You may find that, oh, no one understands me, no one understands my needs, but God knows. Sometimes all we need is a rest, a little rest in our Lord. Sometimes we may need a little supplement. Sometimes when I received a cup of coffee from someone, I find that, oh, this is my supplement. I need this kind of refreshment to refresh me, to encourage me. This is love. Instead of focusing on your disappointment and fears, please give thanks for your blessings. God has a lot of blessings upon you, upon your past, now, and your future. When you look at things in such a way, God will change your perspective and God will change your future. Our God will give us the strength we need and equip us so that we can keep on serving Him with joy and achievement. Praise the Lord, for our God is good to His children. This message I learned from God when I was on the mountain. Very important and meaningful moment for my wife and myself. Praise the Lord, for He is good. He's good to us because we are all His children. Just be faithful. Keep on serving the Lord, following Him by faith in your heart. Amen. Amen. Let's all rise for doxology. Now with the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus, and the peace of the Holy Spirit be with you and remain in you always. Amen. Seated.